The COVID-19 pandemic has continued to claim lives, and with many infected and affected directly and indirectly. That is the more reason why vaccination is the most effective way out towards ensuring a healthy community, beginning from self. Do not wait until it is too late to get your own dosage of the COVID-19 vaccine in order to stay protected. Refrain from fake news about the virus, shun propaganda, avoid being manipulated, embrace the vaccine, and stay immune to the deadly pandemic. Remember, protecting yourself is also protecting your loved ones. COVID-19 is real and it's here. This is a message from Cameroon Community Media Network, CCMN, in collaboration with International Media Support, IMS.
Hello, faithful listeners of Zakiri FM. Welcome to this special slot on our health issues on the program, Ask the Doctor. Ask the Doctor is a program designed to address various topical health issues in our community, within the country, and the world at large. And of course, there is no doubt that the term COVID-19 is a household name in every community in Cameroon and the world at large. And there is no way we can avoid talking about it, no matter how often we discuss about it, because it is still very much present within our communities and within the countries and the world at large, as we mentioned earlier. So in the program today, I am the anchor, Fonye Hussein, your regular host of the program, Ask the Doctor. In this program, to remember, we can discuss in English, in Pidgin language, as well as the local language, Lamsor, to reach out to the entire population, depending on the guests we have on the program. And today, we have a very special guest on the program, who happens to be too a native of Jakiri, who has so much concern for the health of his population. Is Dr. Saka Bernard Saizeze. Greetings and welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, greetings, and greetings to everyone in Jakiri.
You have been a regular voice on Jakiri FM radio, but it's been quite a while. I'm sure the population will be very happy again to get the voice.
Of course, due to circumstances beyond our control, we haven't been available, but it's always a pleasure to come back and share with my people, especially when it comes to health-related issues, and again on issues really so pertinent, like the COVID-19, that has been ravaging our community, but also the world at large since last year.
Exactly, and I introduce you as Dr. Saka Bernard. Inside, some people would think you're a medical doctor, not a medical doctor per se, but then I want you to introduce yourself further. I know that you are the managing director of Big Steps Outreach, and you tell us a bit about Big Steps Outreach and the activities that your NGO undertake in relation to health-related issues, especially COVID-19 that we're talking about.
Yes, Big Steps Outreach, actually, where I've been managing director, is a youth-led organization. And this organization has actually been operating since 2010-11, and we have actually been carrying out several activities, especially in Jakiri, when it comes to youth empowerment, but most especially also the well-being of vulnerable categories of persons, including women and young girls. And so we actually, especially since the advent of COVID in 2020, we have also been trying to do the little we can by educating our people on the dangers of this pandemic, and most especially also supporting initiatives that have been aimed at sensitizing some people in our communities back home, but also getting to see into it that people abide by the measures that have been prescribed by the World Health Organization as far as preventing this deadly pandemic is concerned. And I think this is something which we continue to do, and we do hold it dearly at heart, because we think that if our people are not healthy, then they cannot live to realize their dreams, but also to live their lives as they should fully in a community like Jakiri.
Thank you so much for that elaborate presentation or introduction of your own self and the activities you undertake in your life. Yes, as we were earlier saying, if you are just tuning in, you are on to Jakiri FM Radio, and the program on air is Ask the Doctor. It's a health program on Jakiri FM Radio. And this time around, It is a production of the Cameroon Community Media Network, CCMN, in collaboration with the International Media Support, IMS. And we are talking about COVID-19, and specifically, we are in an era of vaccination, and a lot of people still need to have much information about the current trends of this virus. Perhaps that is going to contribute or influence them to really understand why we are insisting on the sensitization for the vaccination that is currently going on, and of course it is free of charge. Maybe, Doctor, you tell us the latest statistics of this virus in Cameroon. Let us come, you need to talk globally, but then we are so much concerned about Cameroon, and then let our people down in the grassroots here, Jackie, understand exactly how bad or how dangerous this situation is.
Yeah, I think I would like to talk more specifically about our own situation, because when you look at the national level, you discover that the country has recorded over 107,000 cases since the first cases were recorded in March 2020. Mm-hmm. And so far, we also have already almost 1,800 deaths. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the current vaccination campaign, we have just barely 5.4% of the population that has been vaccinated, and that is why you see that efforts are being made in terms of sensitizing and encouraging the population to all go for the vaccine, because as we often say, prevention is better than cure. Mm-hmm. And so amongst the various barrier measures, I think that the vaccine has been one of those that people have been encouraged to go in for. And again, we understand that despite also the dangers of this pandemic, and which many people actually, including in this activity community, have lost loved ones too, but then we do not want to see more people from Turkey dying because of this virus, in addition to already the problems that people are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's important that our people could be able to again adhere to these barrier measures and go for the vaccine where they have the opportunity to, because we also understand the challenges for everyone to access this vaccine, considering that some people may be interested, but then they also may not have access to the vaccine, especially when you take those who are living in remote areas of the municipality. Mm-hmm. So I feel that, of course, in terms of the cases, they are really very disturbing, and we don't know who can be next, because if we do not respect barrier measures, then it means all of us are exposed, all of us are vulnerable. And so if we have, you know, the opportunity to prevent ourselves from falling prey to this pandemic, I think that would be a better thing to do. And again, you will see that at this point in time, we also would want to add our voice again to encourage people to adhere to barrier measures, including having always to put on their face or nose mask. Mm-hmm. And where possible, really respect physical or social distancing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really very important to continue washing our hands. Mm-hmm. With also detergents or savon. Mm-hmm. And I feel that if you also can afford the hand sanitizer, then it will be important to use it as often as possible. I mean, we understand that our people are really going through hard times now. Mm-hmm. And many will not be able to afford, you know, sanitizers or maybe even the savon per se. Mm-hmm. to regularly wash their hands. But I think that if we truly can see into it that those measures, including using even reusable masks, mm-hmm. those that will not entail us buying every time when we don't have the money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could be something really to go by. Mm-hmm. And it's also true that, you know, our people believe that they may not necessarily go in for some globally prescribed measures, mm-hmm. including vaccines and also some of the elements like maybe sanitizers that we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, and I've sometimes done this also, mm-hmm. Drinking, you know, some local concoctions, mm-hmm. like ginger and maybe garlic, honey,
many people have been going.
Yes,
we'll come back to that. You just listed a series of statistics that actually an eye-opener to some of us who might think that this is still not a serious issue, because statistics actually paint a vivid picture of how bad or good a situation is, and that you have given to us. I don't know, from your own observation, you are one of the most informed Cameroonians, especially when it comes to health-related issues like the COVID-19 that we have at hand. People are still very reluctant. You say just slightly above 5% of the entire population of Cameroon have gone in already for the vaccines that are free of charge, that are not being paid for.
Yes.
What accounts for this, you know, nonchalant attitude towards adhering to the barrier measures, preventive measures of this COVID-19, no matter how deadly it is, and we know that it is very deadly and has been killing. Do you think that the sensitization has not been enough, or what could be the problem?
Yes, I think this is one of the very pertinent questions that has really been a subject of further reflections, but also debate in many circles, even beyond Cameroon,
mm-hmm.
because the first thing is that despite the general awareness on the dangers of COVID, and of course on the existence mm-hmm. of the virus, there are still people who do not believe that COVID exists,
mm-hmm.
and some who even are aware that it does, still do not believe that it is as dangerous as we often, you know, try to remind ourselves or remind them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another category of those who are aware of all of this information related to COVID, but think that it's all about a conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
or it's more or less for them like a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
And so to them, they remain very skeptical,
mm-hmm.
and feel that this is an invention of some people, especially from the West,
mm-hmm.
who want to actually achieve some other ulterior motives. And so for these reasons, you see that people's reactions, people's attitude towards either respecting the barrier measures or maybe going in for the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
Are highly influenced by whether they are aware that COVID really exists,
mm-hmm.
whether they are aware and do believe that it exists and is really very deadly or dangerous,
mm-hmm.
but also others who, you know, are aware, believe that it is dangerous, but also that it could be treated or tackled with the various measures that have been prescribed by the WHO and other health experts.
Mm-hmm.
But then the bottom line is that skepticism, ignorance, and also misinformation
mm-hmm.
about COVID is actually preventing many people from adhering to barrier measures,
mm-hmm.
and also even the fact that we have had, you know, a mix-up of the virus and some other previous experiences or conspiracies actually
mm-hmm.
associated with vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things tend to make people to really feel reluctant
mm-hmm.
going in for the vaccine, but most especially not adhering to barrier measures, because some people even tell you that, I mean, we are really immune to
mm-hmm.
to the virus,
mm-hmm.
so they don't see any reason why mm-hmm. we should go in for vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the white man who has been dying more from
mm-hmm.
this should actually go for the vaccine. So I think these are some of those issues that are really shaping or preventing the attitude of our people from going in for this vaccine,
mm-hmm.
and most especially preventing, you know, the or seeking preventive measures
mm-hmm.
against the virus. And I mean, it's important to even indicate that we now have a new and more deadly variant
mm-hmm.
of the virus,
mm-hmm.
which is actually in circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And although fingers are pointing at South Africa,
mm-hmm.
but then you can see that cases have already been recorded across the world,
mm-hmm.
and that is why new barrier measures and most especially lockdown measures
mm-hmm.
are already being put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Some countries are already suspending flights, you know, from other countries or international travelers
mm-hmm.
or visitors. This is to say that if we are having, you know, series of variants and also more deadly, you know, spread of this virus,
mm-hmm.
our people should at least get inspiration,
mm-hmm.
but most especially learn some lessons from this, so that we better prevent than to leave ourselves this vulnerable mm-hmm. to the virus.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned something about misinformation, and I know this is the work of the social media platforms that we all use, and not only are people misinformed and misled by the social network, we only on this issue, the health issue, we also know of other issues where people have been misled to take wrong decisions. And when you are well informed, we take to informed decisions. You are also an expert in when it comes to social media regulations. Let us come back to our locality. You are not talking to all Cameroonians. You are talking to the people of Jakarta specifically and to other subdivisions around, like Diani, Invern Division, mm-hmm. who are listening to Jakarta FM radio. What advice will you tell them about the use of social media or the type of information they tap from the social media?
Yeah, I mean, social media misinformation, this is really something which has been also around for quite a while and has been a subject of many controversies. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I would like to say is that social media has all the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. And the best thing we can do is to actually focus on the good mm-hmm. that comes out from social media, mm-hmm. one of which is actually, you know, dissemination of good information mm-hmm. at a very short notice, mm-hmm. and also in terms of sensitizing our people on barrier measures like the ones we're talking about, COVID. I mean, social media is one of the best media through which we can, you know, sensitize our people mm-hmm. more than even sometimes the radio media, yes, or traditional media. Mm-hmm. So when you see the issue of misinformation, it's also because you don't have control over what information mm-hmm. people get from social media. Mm-hmm. But it's also part of, you know, the freedom that humanity or we clamor for, mm-hmm. because as we all do have the freedom to go online mm-hmm. and especially on social media mm-hmm. to get whatever information or content we want from there and to share to whomsoever we want to, mm-hmm. it becomes difficult mm-hmm. to really control or to regulate. Mm-hmm. But I feel that one of the best things we can do for those who want reliable information should be that when it comes to COVID, like other health-related issues, mm-hmm. I feel that people should be aware of reliable sources mm-hmm. through which they get information. And even when you get information from friends, family members, colleagues, you should also, you know, take the pains mm-hmm. to go online and verify from other sources. Mm-hmm. You do not need to take such information just from one source mm-hmm. and then you mm-hmm. spread it as if it were, you know, gospel. Mm-hmm. So I think that all of us, or many of us, do have access to social media mm-hmm. and we all are excited about using it, and we don't think that this is a point where you will be telling people not to use it. Mm-hmm. So the best thing would be to just, you know, try to see how to use it mm-hmm. in a way that benefits us positively. Mm-hmm. And I think health matters or health issues are issues that we do not joke with. Mm-hmm. And so there is no reason why we should encourage people to depend on, you know, wrong information. Mm-hmm. But rather, it's important that those who also share, you know, wrong information or false information through this platform mm-hmm. should at least be more conscious about the health and well-being of our people mm-hmm. so that they do not add salt to the injury which our people are already experiencing mm-hmm. by really misinforming them about COVID. Mm-hmm. And so if we can rather encourage people to respect or adhere to the right information about, you know, preventing COVID, mm-hmm. but also practices that are good, including, of course, going for the vaccines where possible, then I believe that this can go a long way to help us. And also, I think that for those who are very good in social media, we should also endeavor to always, you know, circulate the right information.
Using it
positively for our people. Mm-hmm. Because if we think about the good or interest of our people, mm-hmm. I think that we should help them by giving them the right information. Mm-hmm. And from there, it can actually also help many people mm-hmm. to make more informed decisions or choices. Mm-hmm. And that way, they can also be able to, you know, cater for not just their own lives, mm-hmm. but the lives of their loved ones. Mm-hmm. And I think that a community like Jakarta, we want to see our people alive mm-hmm. and healthy so that we all can be able to work for the interest of the community. Mm-hmm. And so we will not want to lose anybody just because of some mere carelessness or misinformation mm-hmm. from an individual who may not have, you know, the interest of the community at heart.
That's it. With the column say COVID-19, the attack all manner, whether you rich or you poor, strong or weak, tall or short, old or young. So make we stop for the make like say person wey don catch that coronavirus na outcast. Na very bad thing that. Mami, papa, brother and my sister there. Make all we learn for give help for any person wey don catch this sick, because when we help them, them go dey fine and we too go dey fine. Remember say if you no help people wey don catch coro or wey don well from coro, your bad fashion fit kill them instead of the virus. Make we stand together like one man and we go beat this war sin. This one na tori wey comot from Cameroon Community Media Network CCMN with the support from International Media Support IMS.
This is a special edition of Ask the Doctor over Jackie FM Radio, a program produced by the CCMN in collaboration with the International Media Support. And our guest on the program today is Dr. Saka Bernard Saidze, a native of the Southland and of Jackie to be precise. Doctor, we're talking about vaccination. This is not the first time the population is getting the word vaccination or the word vaccine or vaccine. But then it seems too strange when it comes to COVID. From childhood, children have been taking vaccine until other pandemics that have been coming to, we have been taking vaccine. What is the function of a vaccine? Is a vaccine a treatment to a disease, or a vaccine is to prevent? Maybe the population should know the role the vaccine should play or plays. Maybe it would encourage them to actually take.
I think in very simple terms, a vaccine is actually a preventive measure which introduces antibodies of a particular, let us call it virus, into our system to be able to already fight against, that particular virus in case we get to attract it or to be affected by it. And so a vaccine is mainly to prevent, and that is why you see that our children and all of us, from our infant, years, you see that we are introduced to vaccines, and you see that, diseases or pandemics like meningitis, chickenpox or smallpox or measles, we go for these vaccines, or our parents do take us for these vaccines at an early age, so we grew up knowing fully well that these are all measures to prevent us from falling prey to this. And you see even polio,
we all people, so many some people are disabled because of that.
Exactly. So this should be very good examples to show that when it comes to vaccines, they are actually meant to prevent. And so we all know that prevention is better than cure. And so if our people have been accepting those vaccines, it becomes a bit challenging to also understand why they do not want to accept another vaccine for a deadly virus like corona.
More deadly than others. That cause COVID has been taking the
vaccine. COVID has been has proven to be more deadly. If you look at the number of people that COVID has taken within a very short period of time, it's not something to really want to think of. And more people are dying as we're talking here. All over the world. So I think that it will not be a good thing for us to remain in this kind of skepticism and ignorance about a virus that is killing, and that will be killing in case we do not do all that is required to prevent it. And also I think that when you look at COVID and vaccine per se, you also see that while generally speaking Africans have not really contracted COVID as compared to the West, you still see that the myth that surrounded COVID as in not going to affect us, the blacks or Cameroonians or children or young people, all of these have been demystified. And you see that the variants that we are now recording are more and more deadly. And so this means that we do not know what would come along the line, because the virus is mutating. Or to call it in simple terms, it is changing or it is evolving, and it is taking different strategies or different forms to attack. So if it obviously has noticed that we in Jackie, for instance, or in Africa are strong, it will take another form to attack. And so the thing is that if we have a means to prevent it, it would be really a good thing to rather prevent. And I feel that our people, of course, some are right also, because we cannot rule out completely some of these conspiracy theories, but then it's about being able to see into it that if globally our health institution, like the World Health Organization, is able to sanction positively a vaccine or some vaccines, that means that this is something we could go by. And I think people will be, you know, called to book in case they mislead the people or humanity or the world. And so I think it's not about just where the vaccine is coming from. It is also true that some of our people have been raising questions like, why should we have vaccines, not just a vaccine, for COVID within few months of its existence, when for over decades our people have been dying of, you know, malaria, HIV, malaria, and many others, but no vaccine. You see, so what is the interest in, you know, COVID? And of course, some people have gone as far as saying that this is maybe because it is affecting the weight more. And that is why
there is so much concern.
Exactly. And that is why they had to invest more and push scientists to be able to get the vaccine ready for use. And so these are just some of those arguments that people have on table and which really influence the choices that they are making. But I think one of those to make would be really one in which you place yourself in a position of, I mean, living or surviving, than really leaving yourself exposed to rather the virus, and which we know how deadly it is, in case you fall prey to it.
Okay. When you look at the statistics of the consumption of these vaccines, is it more in Africa or in the West? Do people take vaccine, this vaccine against coronavirus, in the West where it is affecting them most, or in Africa? Perhaps this also can paint us another picture.
Well, I must be very honest to say that the vaccine has actually been really accepted more, and more people are going in for it in the West than in Africa.
Okay. Probably because they are dying there, or what?
Of course. I mean, when you have lived through the kind of very, very disturbing experiences of COVID, where you see thousands of people dying every minute, you wouldn't want to really be the next person to die. And so people think that it's important to go for the vaccine. It is true that even in the West, many people also are not in agreement with the vaccine, and some for religious reasons, or others for some other reasons. But basically, many people in the West, in Europe, in the US, in China, have been going in for this vaccine than in Africa. And I think proportionally, the numbers would obviously keep on increasing there than here. And I think there are countries which have already, you know, obliged their citizens to present vaccination cards for COVID, vaccination cards. So when you see that, it's all because many leaders and governments across the world think that it is one of the best things to do for their government to ensure that people go for the vaccine. And I think it would also be really very, very unwise for leaders across the world, scientists across the world, and government to impose, if not oblige and encourage people to be going in for vaccine. It is true that this is actually free, and that it should also be a free will decision. But you see that many people who do not understand the real seriousness of the pandemic are not seeing this. But then, in terms of governments across the world that have really made it a point of duty to ensure that their people are safe, their people are really able to live in a more COVID-free environment, are making all the necessary measures to ensure that the people get the vaccine, the people are held to barrier measures, and that, of course, where necessary, they support the people as well, because COVID has come with a lot of socioeconomic, you know, negative impacts that governments and leaders worldwide also feel that it's important to support them. If you take business people, for instance, you see that if you do not support them, then they cannot also be able to survive or, you know, rekindle their businesses because of COVID. You take farmers, it's the same thing, and all other sectors in life, mm-hmm. the tourism industry, you see. So even with new lockdown measures, in case we are touched again, it means that our people will continue to suffer, mm-hmm. amongst other sufferings that they already are going through. So this is to say that if we have the opportunity to take the vaccine, it is still important for us to take it, and if we have other, you know, opportunities to adhere to barrier measures, I think that we should, so that we really do not fall prey mm-hmm. to this dangerous virus.
Yes, thank you so much, Doctor. When I asked the question of who is taking the consuming the vaccine more than who, I was referring to Africa and the Western world, because there is still one of the misinformation we have on our social media platforms is that the vaccine is designed to reduce the population of Africa. Mm-hmm. And if that were the case, I don't think the Western world would have been consuming it more than even the Africans. So what do you advise of the Kiri population, to be precise, regarding that kind of misinformation on social media and the reality on the ground that even those you think want to kill you are the ones consuming it first?
I think it's really a serious point of misinformation, because when you look in terms of the global, you know, trend of the of vaccination, you see that Africa is really at the bottom mm-hmm. of continents that have, you know, taken this virus, like this vaccine, mm-hmm. and most of even the doses that we're taking in Africa, very few countries are buying. The West is actually, you know, offering to us free of charge, mm-hmm. but their own populations are the first, actually, that they prioritize before even coming to Africa, mm-hmm. and so when you look at these numbers, it tells you that if they want to reduce the population, it means therefore they want to reduce first their own population, mm-hmm. and that means it is not only in Africa, mm-hmm. and so if this is the case, then I feel that our people should also be able to draw lessons from it, because if the West can accept their people to be taking the virus or the vaccine mm-hmm. at the rate they are taking, it means therefore that even if the population were to be reduced, they would have theirs reduced more than ours, mm-hmm. you see, mm-hmm. and especially when you look even in terms of those who are affected by the virus as well, mm-hmm. I mean, our active population are there, and it's but normal that we should be very rational mm-hmm. in the kind of, you know, allegations, but also arguments that we raise mm-hmm. As far as the vaccine or vaccination trend is concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're listening to Ask the Doctor over Jakiri FM Radio, a program that addresses topical health issues on a weekly basis. We come live on Wednesdays and a rebroadcast on Sundays for our people to actually get to understand what is current concerning our health and the measures we can take to prevent, like the doctor also said here, and every of us, one of us know this, that prevention, they say, is better than cure, and is even cheaper than cure as well. So our guest on the program remains Dr. Saka Bernard Inside the Zone, who is talking to you like your own son, like your own brother. He is from Jakiri as well. He has also been taking part in sensitization campaign through his organization, Big Steps Outreach Network, Bonit, Cameroon, moving from one region of the country to the other, and probably have seen too the effects of this virus in many Cameroonians than just what is happening back home. Before we move further, Dr. Saka Bernard, I remember one action the then divisional officer of Jakiri took in Jakiri one time. Some months back, he went to the roundabout at the Bakwa and then bundled everyone who was without a face mask. At the time, the government was so strict on the putting on face masks and then social distancing or physical distancing in crowded areas. He brought them to the divisional office here, and after that, he called the team, the medical team that was in charge of testing, of screening, and insisted that everyone be tested of the COVID-19. And behold, during the testing exercise, out of force, because they were working without face masks, mm-hmm. They actually identified, I think, one or two cases of COVID-19, which tells you that the statistics we are even giving here are for those who have opted to come to the hospital to be tested. We mean there are such cases like that in the quarters that are still not unknown, that are still not noticed, and probably that is how the spread will be continuing. So in this, it was a very good move, and then from this move and the result that we got at the end, what piece of advice do you think our people should learn from it?
Yes, I think that it's very important to actually ensure that people truly turn up for, you know, testing,
mm-hmm.
because it is only when you subject yourself to be tested
mm-hmm.
that we are able to also detect cases,
mm-hmm.
and it is also when we are able to detect that we can treat,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people refuse to be tested, it means cases cannot be detected,
mm-hmm.
and that also means we cannot treat, you know, those cases.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also feel that it remains very important not to make it truly, you know, an obligation, or you cannot subject people
mm-hmm.
under such pressure
mm-hmm.
to go for the testing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very difficult because you see that it is a bit criminal,
mm-hmm.
if not it's a crime,
mm-hmm.
that you may also feel sick, or you may even experience some symptoms of the virus,
mm-hmm.
and you do not go for testing, because that means you are endangering the lives of other people. But then it becomes very delicate if we have to compel you,
mm-hmm.
you know, bundle you up as well,
mm-hmm.
to go for the testing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what is important here is to create more awareness,
mm-hmm.
when we educate our people, when our people understand
mm-hmm.
the dangers of the virus and can take the decision themselves
mm-hmm.
to go for the testing. And we hope that there are facilities to test them also appropriately,
mm-hmm.
and also provide them
mm-hmm.
with all the necessary support in terms of treatment,
mm-hmm.
then I think this is something we can go by, so that people are also happy
mm-hmm.
doing it, but they are not compelled to do it as if it is meant to satisfy somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I think, what to me, our advice. And so for me, it is about really just getting the information, acting by it
mm-hmm.
in a positive, you know, way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do this, and also not just ensure our own health, but the health and well-being of our family members, our friends,
mm-hmm.
Then this would be good for the community.
Well, when you measure the efficiency of this vaccine, and then you realize that somebody who is vaccinated and still living beside someone who is not yet vaccinated is still endangered. How, it's like if you are vaccinated and then I still live with you who is not vaccinated, and you happen to contract the virus, it is possible that you can still transmit the virus to me. In this light, what should be the lesson we should be drawing from this? Everybody going, or we still allow some people, isolated people, to do?
I think the more people can go for the testing and also the vaccination process, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if we know that not everybody would end up going,
mm-hmm.
If 80% can go,
mm-hmm.
I think it is best for us all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we only can encourage people to go for the testing,
mm-hmm.
and encourage people to go for the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
so that we can attain what health scientists call I think it's I can't recall the word. Is it health immunity?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that way we are sure that the virus also, the strength is weakened,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that means many people can at least live and, you know, survive it, and treatment can be more effective and all of those. So basically it's about many people accepting
mm-hmm.
That this truly exists, and it's very dangerous and it's deadly, and that we should go to test ourselves as one of the first measures to be sure of our health status, and that if we are, you know, tested positive, we should subject ourselves to the measures prescribed by the health professionals, but most especially be able to follow our treatment to the end, and why not, of course, go for vaccines as they are available for everyone and free of charge.
Yes, you are also of the civil society. Do you think, you know very well today, it is the responsibility of the state to ensure the well-being of the population? Do you think the government has been doing all the best to ensure that people are sensitized and actually are prevented from this particular pandemic?
Well, I think for that one, yeah, of course, the government is doing its best, but I think that this has been more you know, the work of civil society organizations like ours, but also international, you know, organizations and partners that have been really investing a lot of resources and effort to educate the masses, to sensitize and to support people to adhere to various barrier measures. And so I feel that it's also, you know, the responsibility of each and every one of us, you know, to assume the duty to protect ourselves, to protect our friends and families from it. So we do not look up to somebody else, but we look up to ourselves for, you know, measures that do not cost us much, rather than also be exposed to a pandemic or virus that we would not have the necessary support or facilities to follow treatment if many people were to test positive. For instance, in Jakiri, with the current you know, situation, our health centers are not functioning to full capacity. And this means that if our people have to be testing positive for this virus, it becomes very delicate to think that everybody will receive, you know, quality treatment. And I think this is one of the things I also would not want to find my people into. And so I go in more for prevention, really, than getting to expose ourselves to want to need treatment at any point in time.
There's something that I've observed among our people. When since the outbreak of this COVID-19, when organizations or government officials or politicians sometimes choose to distribute face masks or nose masks to people, the people have tend to believe like it can only be given to them before they use, forgetting that actually it is their health and they have to prevent. And so when they are not given, they prefer to walk without it and say they have not been given. But do you think they must wait for someone to come and give them a piece of cloth which they themselves can actually find to prevent themselves, not only from COVID-19, but we have several airborne diseases that can actually be prevented if we are putting on such preventive measures?
No, I think all of this is because when people don't understand something, especially like COVID or other, you know, epidemics or pandemics, then their reaction would be that of, you know, doing something to please another person, not for their own interest. But if people understand that if you get that piece of cloth, maybe for a mask, which may be less than 100 francs, it's actually going to save your life and save the lives of your family members and friends, then they will do it without necessarily waiting for anybody to come and give them. But because we've made it a point that appears as if this thing we are preventing is for another person, not for ourselves, that is where we get to wait for others to come and give us those things. So this is the more reason why sensitization is very important, so that people make informed decisions and are also happy about those decisions, not that they make those decisions because someone made them to make the decisions, when in actual fact they do not see reason with the decisions that they've made for their own good, and in this case for their own health.
I want to let you go, doctor, without saying something in the local language. We are in a community radio, and your people understand. Sometimes when you speak to somebody in a language he understands, it goes to the mind. But then when you speak to the person in the mother tongue, it goes to the heart. The person receives the message right deep in the heart, and he can be ready to, you know, to apply it. Summarily, what would you tell our people in Ramsau? That is the necessity to take the barrier measures and probably take preventive measures like the vaccine that is currently being offered free of charge by the government of Cameroon.
Suru de yeji yasi o sinyong ji koroba ngebe na udaru yasi o wanda. Suru de sa yeji yasi wan wo luada ako sinigi tum uwiya de fonda. Bala mo uwi na fonda bayi ugane me gara gadam unasene ejajiri. De masu ya yeji awikend yeah, I lem so say jinja wa lem for the lie okay ya seven ki bonga jawa wa lem asuwo una menze me ra nime layo a dubira le wiri fanin chonga ne logan bunda a wa wa ki fakya siti shi shi ya ne o su o so una alo ke gento a ju se vaccine before the fakya den ne na ai on jibiri wa so that like you or he was chosen for carry as even I'm key to the bay as you or as I joy or read with them carry because more you have been very sad and then joy our care vaccination is handled with themselves. We are going to afford to maintain as much as the other side for there. So, but I'm not sure where our care is, the yard of this vaccine was. Kisha Afobi, our care is the year, while the modern sources in Java, for the lie of care, yes, even. But my chicken, you keep on a force and why, for all the man's say, Shafo, we be as it. Oh, apa musim puki ben, oh mungkin puki lembang ben, fokus tu kerja sang, una fokus pagi dengan semua cara lembur, ilai oi, boy fofo, so apa yang pasti apa kerja dengan si fo, fo mawai, fo masuk ya lembang ben.
Jadi waktu orang baca malah sah cuma soal jawab kena.
Well, pasti harus baca cara, kita meja di sana dulu dem, siro design tam dana bo. Jadi kita oi, yang ini ko asing jo, yang ini bi, baru usah wonguna. Moy ayah si sari bila pati ujim saat awi dia moy oja jiri sen kalau naik juga ngelabong awada doma wenyuh fola mwela awadong biar benci.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for having been a guest on our program as the doctor, and the program has been produced in collaboration or by CCMN, a production of Cameroon Community Media Network, in collaboration with International Media Support and over Jakiri FM Radio. I have been the anchor for Nyehusengi, the technical assistance of Nyoiza Ignatius. We thank you so much for having listened up to this moment, and we pray that you continue listening to other programs on Jakiri FM Radio, the mouthpiece of the people. Have a great week with us. Bye-bye.
The COVID-19 pandemic has continued to claim lives, and with many infected and affected directly and indirectly. That is the more reason why vaccination is the most effective way out towards ensuring a healthy community, beginning from self. Do not wait until it is too late to get your own dosage of the COVID-19 vaccine in order to stay protected. Refrain from fake news about the virus. Shun propaganda, avoid being manipulated, embrace the vaccine, and stay immune to the deadly pandemic. Remember, protecting yourself is also protecting your loved ones. COVID-19 is real and it's here. This is a message from Cameroon Community Media Network, CCMN, in collaboration with International Media Support, IMS.